coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
I don't know if I've talked to you guys about Uncharted.
No.
And you probably shouldn't.
With my boy Mark Wahlberg and Tom Arnold Holland.
I wish
it was Tom Arnold. A buddy movie with Tom Arnold and
but Mark still Wahlberg. Playing like a young 20s.
Uh-huh. All I'm gonna say is it definitely wasn't Mark Wahlberg holding this movie back.
Good people who have traveled from villages near and far, lend me your ears.
Hello, anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Man Tooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
Their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Movie Review Crew podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Shane Cronican, and we've got a full house today. Joining me is Matt McNeil.
Hello.
Steve Rushlaw is also here.
How's it going?
Aaron Cronican is here.
Hello.
And Nate Dudley.
What's up?
What's up? We have an interesting episode for you today.
That's the right word.
Aaron chose the movie Men. We'll make him explain that poor decision later. But before we get into that, let's go over what we've seen lately. Let's go in alphabetical order. So, Aaron, what have you seen? Anything?
A few new releases from this year. Well, new for this year. One that you had mentioned a while back called The Watcher.
Yeah.
Or just Watcher, maybe. Yep, I don't remember. Anyways. Meh.
Yeah. That was my impression. That was fine.
Like the whole time, it's just a frustrating movie. By the end of it, I was cheering for her just to get mutilated.
Why do you? And a follow-up question: why?
Because when people do,
Aaron's finally a fan of horror.
You're making I think I am. I mean, am I officially in the horror fan club now that I have a Shudder subscription? anyways, yeah, I don't know. When people are stupid in movies, I actively root for them to die. So that's why that whole time I was hoping it would happen to her. So
fair enough. Anything else?
Yeah, one that I think many of us have seen because it just came out, called Day Shift.
Yes.
Vampire movie that is fine. It's like The Gray Man, where it's, you know, it's a really good, fun movie, but then it's like, you know, I'm not going to remember it in 2-3 years in the future. I'm not going to go back to it. It's just a really good movie to watch in the moment.
Yeah, I thought it was, I also saw that one and I thought it was a blast. I thought, for what it's attempting to be, I thought it pulled it off 100%. It's an absolute blast. There's some fantastic action sequences with great stunt work, which the guy's a stunt choreographer turned director.
Here's my problem with it is, and The Gray Man did the same thing. It's like they want to make these movies as quickly and cut cost wherever they can. So instead of using real squibs, they use awful CGI blood splatters and they use any movie that uses a drone to capture footage should be banned from ever being played on any screen. It just drives me nuts. It's so cheap and gimmicky.
But there wasn't a whole lot of it. It bothered me more in The Gray Man when they're doing drone shots.
Yeah.
Sequence. That was horrendous. Mid
chase sequence.
Yeah, but a chase sequence is.
No, there's no excuse.
Put your drone away.
Play with your toys on your own time, you idiot director.
I mean, that's fair. I agree. I don't like drone shots, but a chase sequence, at least you can have that pulled out, zoomed out view of the cars moving, whereas a fight sequence is more intimate. It's a closer, more detailed thing.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't like it. I don't dislike it as much.
If I'm gonna watch people hunting slash killing vampires, there are a lot better options out there. That's what I'm saying. It's not the best
John Carpenter's vampires.
John Carpenter. I mean, Jamie Foxx, they got nothing on James Woods.
There's a scene in Day Shift with Scott Adkins and Steve Harvey.
Howie,
that's what it is. Yep. It's like 10 minutes of nonstop fun.
Man, raid scene with the Nazarian brothers, that's who they play. I would watch a movie just focusing on those two characters. That was absolutely amazing. Moving on, Aaron, have you seen
Lastly, I went to the theater to see Nope, which, again, fine. It's better than Us. I liked it more than I liked Us. Because I didn't really care for Us. If I'm going to watch an alien movie, there are a lot more things I'd rather watch than that one. So
rank it in his filmography.
He's only got three, right? So Get Out's number one, Nope is number two, Us is number three, and there's a fairly sizable gap.
Wow, you liked it more than Us then?
I did. I said that. I mean,
the movie Us.
I like it more than you guys, too. Us as a group, I like the movie more. Listen, Daniel Kaluuya was really, really good. He was great in Get Out. He's great in almost anything he's in. Kiki Palmer, it made that movie nearly unwatchable for the first half.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm telling you. And I'm going to put this seed in your head for when you watch this.
I already watched it.
Oh, she's terrible. She's like, first of all, she's a terrible actor. So it's a terrible actor doing a terrible impression of Chris Tucker the whole first half of the movie. It's so bad. Glaringly bad.
Did you ask yourself one question?
I kept repeatedly asking, why hasn't she?
Are you writing?
No, I didn't ask if.
Oh. Kiki, well, no. Maybe that's you should have. That would have. I should have asked. Improved your experience. Kiki,
Dudley, why aren't you dead yet?
Aaron has no idea what you're talking about, Dudley.
I know, that's what makes it so funny.
So let me ask
I'm
you this.
I'm saying another character that I was actively rooting to die the whole time.
Let me ask you this then: Have you cooled down on the Jordan Peele hype?
I never was very high on it. I mean, Get Out to me was a very good movie, not world changing like everybody said it was. I mean, come on, cool your jets. Us, I did not like. And this, same thing. It's like,
All right. Well,
I'd rather watch many other alien. I would rather watch Signs. By M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, Aaron continues to be dumb and wrong.
I mean, I do love Signs. I'd rather watch Mel Gibson act the heck out of that. I mean, man,
would you
get in that? But
would you rather watch the 2020 Monster Hunters from the Asylum, starring what's Tom Sizemore?
No.
All right, then it's not that bad. Oh, it's all about perspective.
It's fine.
Let's move on. Next up, Matt, what have you seen, if anything?
Well, I also went and saw Nope in theaters last night, and it's a good movie. I would probably put it third in his list, but it's not like a sizable gap like Aaron says. Like I would still probably put Get Out as his best movie, then Us, and then Nope. But I really liked it. It's a good alien movie. Not so much horror as it is sci-fi. So
it's not in the least bit horror. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Is it trying to be?
No.
Okay.
No. It's trying to be a sci-fi movie, and it. I wish they would have leaned a little bit harder into the sci-fi, but it still. I liked it. Spoiler alert: it's in my top 10 for the year.
All right.
I mean, honestly, it's probably in mine right now. That's just because there haven't been that many great movies this year.
So a movie you pretty much hate is in your top.
I don't pretty much hate it. I hated Kiki Palmer. The movie
Kiki
was good.
Kiki Palmer was not bad in the movie. I liked her performance. Also, I finally watched Fresh this week, and I liked that too.
That's a good one.
All right, moving on to Nate then. What have you seen, if anything?
I don't know if I've talked to you guys about Uncharted.
No. And you probably shouldn't.
With my boy Mark Wahlberg and Tom Arnold Holland.
Tom Arnold. Yep, Tom Arnold.
Holland. I wish it was Tom Arnold. A buddy movie with Tom Arnold and
but Mark still Wahlberg. Playing like a young 20s.
All I'm gonna say is it definitely wasn't Mark Wahlberg holding this movie back. Mark Wahlberg is the best actor in the entire
world. It was the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie looked awful.
Yeah.
The only reason that the movie was like a fourth decent was because of Mark Wahlberg. So
stop. First of all, don't mention Mark Wahlberg as a positive factor in a movie that also stars Antonio Banderas. Okay. Second of all, don't mention Mark Wahlberg as a positive. Period. End of sentence.
Whoa, Shane, what is happening? He was in our top three. What did he do to you?
He made the movie Uncharted. That movie looked horrendous. No, I don't hate.
Oh.
I mean, I do hate Mark Wahlberg when Dudley. He tries to act, but yeah, I don't hate Mark Wahlberg. He's fine. Like you said, top three actor of all time. But you know what? I'm back on the train.
Exactly. Yes, Matt.
I gotta pose this question to you. Uncharted, no. Uncharted, or The Happening?
Oh,
I think I'd take The Happening.
Oh well, man,
it's that seriously? Bad. Huh?
It's not I that did, bad.
I don't know, dude. Yikes. It was. I didn't enjoy it very much. I mean, it's an adventure, I guess. But
here's a real question: do you think Mark Wahlberg saw Bruce Willis's recent filmography and Nick Cage's recent filmography, and he said, hold my beer.
Hold on. Nick Cage has been having kind of a renaissance.
Okay, he kind of has.
And I mean, we're not going to sit here and blame Bruce Willis for what he did with our knowledge we have now. And don't compare that blockbuster CGI shitfest to some straight-up old-school action movies that they've been doing. Those are completely different types of movies. The only comparison is that they're both junk. It's just that they spent significantly more money to make junk in that case.
Oh, speaking of junk, you guys seen the sloppily edited, probably by him, trailer for Rob Zombie's Monsters movie?
Oh, man. No, yes.
I have not.
Oh, you have to. You
it looks
have
terrible.
To.
No, I terrible. Yeah, I dare you, Aaron. Oh, it's bad.
What is with the Rob Zombie thing? I mean, come on. What is that dumb movie we reviewed that was like a 0.5 out of 10 for
The Devil's Rejects?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he has his fan base, and that's fine. We're just not them.
Real question. I mean, he has money, obviously, with his music career. Is he a producer of his own movies? Is he funding these things by himself?
I'm pretty sure Universal is funding the Monsters one, but the rest of them, I don't know.
Yeah,
I just don't get how he consistently thinks his wife is amazing. Well, she's terrible.
Is she in the Monsters?
I don't think he does.
Yeah, of course she is.
Yeah. Yeah, she plays, what's her name?
But the thing is, his movies are made for cheap. And they make money. It's that simple. Why would a studio would fund that? It's
Rob
money.
Zombie
they don't care about
the same
quality.
Kind of thing that Adam Sandler does, where he just wants to like put all of his friends in a movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
You have a working relationship with people. I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm going to blame him for his movies being absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. He makes money for cheap. He uses people he's comfortable working with and familiar with, and his movies make money.
Okay, What's worse, Rob Zombie as a director or Mark Wahlberg as an actor?
Zombie.
Oh,
all
Mark,
day.
Mark
zombie.
Aaron, the fact that you try to pose that question hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good. You should rethink your life.
Wow.
Let's move on to Steve. What have you seen, if anything?
I had a good couple weeks watching 2022 movies. I watched 8. I'm only going to hit a couple, though. We watched Lightyear with my nephews.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's got terrible reviews on pretty much everything, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really well done. And I didn't mind that Tim Allen was not in the movie. I didn't really notice it, honestly.
Yeah, it's a cartoon character. What I mean,
yeah, it was fun.
People were in an uproar over Shaggy and I'm blanking on the guy's name now.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, Lillard. And when they recast Shaggy, it's like, okay, I get it. You've been that character forever. And the way they did it might have sucked. But in the end, if you're choosing to spend your time and emotions worrying about who's playing an animated character, you need better things to worry about.
Wait. What about the people that are spending their time and emotions crying about woke culture putting two female characters in love in a cartoon movie?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. I mean, get over it.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. Like, it didn't bother me. Don't let it get why let it have that power over your emotions.
Honestly, I loved it. It made me feel like I was a little kid watching the original Toy Story again,
and that's what it's supposed to do. So it did its job.
Definitely
good.
Another one I'm going to hit on is 13 Lives. It's available on Prime.
Oh yeah.
If you haven't seen that, I definitely suggest watching it. It's a very good movie. Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell are fantastic in it.
Ron Howard directed, right?
Yeah.
And that's right in his wheelhouse of movies. Well, I mean,
the disaster movies.
Yeah.
Apollo 13 and
Joel Egerton appears. I mean, he's limited role, but man, he's good in it.
Yeah, it's got two of my Colin Farrell and Egerton are two of my favorite actors. So it's really good. I definitely say check it out. I watched The Black Phone last night.
Mm. Oh yeah. And
I'd say it was just decent. I enjoyed it. It's different, but I don't think it was as great as everyone's putting it off to be.
That's the consensus I seem to be hearing from everybody that's seen it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable movie. Ethan Hawke's pretty good in it as the creeper, or the grabber, as they call him. And then I also watched Day Shift. It was very enjoyable so far. I believe Netflix is having a pretty good run on movies with The Gray Man and The Day Shift.
Yeah, who'd have thought that Netflix, I mean, from all I hear, Netflix is doing just fine, and HBO is the one that's going to have some troubles here in the future.
Yeah, but we won't get into the HBO thing, but anything else, Steve, that you want to touch on?
No, that's it.
Okay, the only new movie that I've seen is Day Shift. We've talked about that. I actually placed that, as of now, in my top five movies of the year. I thought it was an absolute blast. The combination of the fun concept, the fantastic stunt work and action set pieces, the music, just the whole vibe of it. I mean, even towards the end where it gets just a little weird and nutty and almost has a Big Trouble in Little China kind of vibe to it with the secret lair underneath the city and all. I mean, it was just a blast. And yes, Aaron is correct. As far as a movie that will have an impact on you going forward, I don't think it's that, but it wasn't trying to be that. It was just an absolute blast. And whether it's one of the best movies of the year, I don't know, whatever. I thought it was fantastic action filmmaking, but it is one of the most enjoyable movies I've watched all year. There were multiple scenes where I had just a huge smile on my face, just having an absolute blast, which is what it set out to do. Mission accomplished.
I was a little skeptical seeing Snoop Dogg in a movie, but the scenes that Snoop Dogg was in were fantastic.
I loved every second of it.
Enjoyable.
Every second of it.
And I like how I've seen Snoop Dogg in a few movies now. And I like how they cast Snoop Dogg and in no way, shape, or form try to get him to be anything other than Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
No.
And they just.
Why would you, though? Why would you?
And in this movie, they use Snoop Dogg's legendary status to basically create this character that is a legend in this world. And you can buy in because it's Snoop Dogg. Of course, he's a legend. we don't need to be told it's Snoop Dogg. He is a legend. He's an absolute legend. So, I bought in 100%. Loved every scene that he was in. That's the only thing I've seen. Anything that anybody wants to talk about? Any movie news? Any trailers you've seen? Anything like that before we get into Men?
I believe Aaron posted a trailer for Banshees of Inisherin. Have you guys watched that trailer?
I have not.
The trailer is just, it doesn't get me too excited. What gets me excited is the director and the actors. I mean, it's the guy that did In Bruges, reunited with Colin Farrell and,
Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson. I mean, that should be great.
Yeah, I'm going to go in blind and just watch it having I don't even know what the plot is. I'm not going to watch a trailer. I just kind of want to watch it and let it be
what it is. If they can come anywhere, anywhere close to In Bruges, I think it will be a success because I love In Bruges. I love Seven Psychopaths.
Is it, based on the trailer, does it seem to be a comedy like that? Or is
it seems more dramatic than comedic. Yeah.
Okay. So probably closer to Three Billboards than In Bruges.
Most likely.
Maybe.
All right.
Did you guys see the trailer for Halloween Ends?
Did they make one?
I did.
It
played during Nope.
Yeah, it showed at the beginning of Nope. So it's probably on the internet by now, but it looks not better than the last one.
Well, that's not hard because that's the last true. One is about on par with the Rob Zombie Halloween movies.
It's not that bad.
No, I know. I'm exaggerating, but it was a thoroughly unenjoyable watch.
It was a letdown after the 2018 Halloween. Yeah. But this one looks a lot, based on the trailer, looks a lot better. It's good. Basically just a knockdown drag out between I can't think of her name.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes, Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers.
Like the actor Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
She pulls off the mask and he's just like, "Hey, baby," and then, and then it's just two geriatric people fighting, and it looks great.
Do I make you horny, baby? You know what? I wish they would have made that in the second one. It would have been better because that movie was horrendous. Speaking of people that play multiple characters in a movie, are we ready to talk about men?
I guess.
Okay, what specific man do you guys want to talk about? I had to throw in a mic joke.
That was a really good one.
All right, let's talk about Men, a 2022 movie, 1 hour, 40 minutes long, classified on IMDb as a drama, fantasy, horror. That's interesting. They place drama and fantasy before horror. I guess I haven't seen this, so I'll let you guys talk about that. Written and directed by...
Wait, you Alex. Didn't watch it?
No. So, I was very excited about this movie when it was initially talked about way back then. And then the reviews came out and I was like... Eh. And then Dudley saw it and was saying, "Who the hell made me watch this pile of crap movie?" And I was thinking... So my interest in this has completely just disintegrated. And I will eventually probably watch it, but I just didn't want to, so I didn't, because I'm a grown man and you can't make me.
First of all, I didn't say who made me watch this pile of crap movie.
No, I said, may have paraphrased.
I just want to know. Never mind.
Listen. Yeah, okay. Let me explain.
Hold on. Let me get through talking about the movie and the cast and crew, and then you can tell us why you did this to them. So written and directed by Alex Garland, known for as a writer. He wrote 28 Days Later, Sunshine, Ex Machina, which got him a nomination for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay, Annihilation, and now Men. As a director, he directed Ex Machina, Annihilation, and now Men.
And... by all accounts,
yes.
He directed Dread.
Yeah, uncredited, but you know that's the rumors anyhow. This one stars Jesse Buckley as Harper, known for I'm Thinking of Ending Things, Wild Rose, Beast, and The Lost Daughter, which got her an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress. I have not seen that, but I had no idea she was even nominated. That shows you how much I pay attention to the Academy Awards. Also stars...
Go ahead. She was also in Matt's number one movie of last year, The Courier.
I don't think that was my number one movie of last year, pretty sure.
I have it right here.
It's
top 10 of 2021, The Courier.
Dang.
Well, it was in my top 10, but was it my number one?
It was your number one.
Well, that was a really fucking good movie, so that doesn't surprise me.
Matt likes bad movies. I'm just kidding. I never saw that one. This one also stars Rory Kinnear as maybe I'm assuming since he's British, it's pronounced Joffrey. Is that correct?
Jeffrey.
No, I'm going to go with Joffrey. he also plays everybody else in this movie, apparently. And to round out the cast, Papa Isedu, Gail Rankin, Sarah Twomey, Zach Rothra Oxley, and Sonoya Mizuno. But from the trailer, that's the only thing I've seen. It looked like it was essentially Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yep. Going over the numbers on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it a 69% and a 6.6 out of 10. Critics' consensus, if its narrative and thematic reach sometimes exceeds its grasp, magnetic performances from a stellar cast help men make the most of its horror provocations. Also on Rotten Tomatoes, this is new. They have an audience consensus. So I'll go over that one. They give it a 39%, significantly lower, 30% lower, and a 5.4 out of 10, so 1.2 out of 10 lower than the critics. And their consensus is men might satisfy film fans comfortable with a lot of ambiguity and heavy symbolism, but for many others, it'll be hard to see the point. And rounding out the numbers, IMDb has it as a 6.1 out of 10. So before we get into it, I'm going to give a brief synopsis, and this is on IMDb. It's a, like I said, it's not a very descriptive description, so I'll have one of you kind of give a synopsis after this. But according to IMDb, all it gives is a young woman goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband, which is probably true, but it also doesn't tell you what the movie's about. So who wants to tell me what this movie
is? That is a thing that happens.
That's what it's about, pretty much.
I mean, in that English countryside, she runs into all manner of characters played by Rory Kinnear, and things get weird. Shenanigans ensue, Mike would say.
Is there a word beyond weird? Like,
look, okay, time out. Okay, I did, when I sent, so I traded my movie pick with Shane to pick this since it came out this week. And when I said that, I said, you want to trade so I can make you all maybe hate me when I make you watch Men. I said, it's weird. I don't know what people will think of it. I know it's super weird. I get that. But it's not a perfect movie. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a 10. It does sacrifice the narrative elements to really lean into the metaphors that aren't exactly subtle. But what it does well, Alex Garland is great. The scenes look great. They're shot well. The acting in this is incredibly good. The horror elements work, whether they elicit a reaction. I'll say that. Whether it's you're scared of what's happening, or you're just completely grossed out, or you're just desperately trying to find out what the hell it all means. But it's a movie. You know how I said Day Shift is not a movie that you're going to be thinking about in the next year or even the next week? This movie at least makes you think and say, what the hell did I watch? And at least dig in to try to find answers. And that's, people don't like that. It doesn't give you answers, but it's fine. It's more of just a watching it and going through the experience and talking about what the hell you just saw.
So,
Dudley, you're not wrong.
Do you want to talk about your feelings?
No, I'm hurt on the inside and outside. my general, and I think this has actually been summed up pretty well, and I think Aaron hit on this a little bit. I generally am still wondering what the hell I watched. I still am generally wondering what the hell all of it really meant, and how does this even tie into being an actual story, and what is real, and like, I will give it that, I guess. I am still wondering, like, what is the point of this movie at all? I don't really think I know, and hopefully maybe as we talk a little bit more, other people can answer it. So generally, my first take was definitely what the hell am I watching? Second was, what is the end point of this movie? Like, once you get to the very end, you're like, okay, what did I get out of this? Like, what was the whole story behind this? And then third was, I generally thought it was entertaining for what it was. It did keep me involved in the entire movie. So I'll give it that.
So that's interesting, because Aaron, Matt, and I just reviewed Hatching. And that was kind of our consensus was I get the themes. I get what I understand the metaphors, but what the hell are you trying to say? So Matt, is this, what are your thoughts on this? And does it kind of have that same feeling as Hatching?
Compare this to Hatching in a lot of ways. It is very well made. The performances are all very good. The theme is very on the nose. And where Hatching really failed to say anything of substance, this movie says a little bit, but it doesn't really say enough to make it worthwhile. Like the whole movie is about toxic masculinity and how it's like passed on from, and that's like literally you watch a man give birth to another man, give birth to another man, give birth to another man. And it's not subtle.
There's two themes going on though. There's the theme of her grief and her process through that, and the whole theme, the movie's titled Men. The director wasn't going for subtlety.
That's so. But I wonder if this movie would have been made had not a man wrote it, you know?
I'm sure it would have. It wouldn't have been as weird. I mean, come on, look at Hollywood now. Anytime you want to preach about a terrible men being terrible men, Hollywood will let you make that movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyway, I don't want to steal it. Go ahead.
No, it's, British people, gross.
That sums it up nicely.
End of opening statement.
I think we could probably just end the show.
Yeah, yep. British people.
British people, am I right? That's the review.
Tell your friends.
But no, I mean, had I not known going into it that all of them was the same guy, could have fooled me, because none of them look even remotely similar. So they did a good job with that, at least.
All right. Well, Steve, have you given your first thoughts, or do you have anything to add to that?
No, I haven't. I'll add here. I'll agree with McNeil on that. The acting in this was very good. It was really well shot. I actually didn't have a problem with this movie up until I had flashbacks to about 10 months ago when my wife was giving birth. It's a weird ending, but that's all I'll say. It's just a weird movie.
All right, so we've kind of gone over our your general thoughts on it. Let's get into specifics, starting with the positives. What was the thing you enjoyed most about it? Starting with Aaron, he chose it.
Most of the production value. I mean, it all looked great. It shot well. The biggest thing for me is the act. These are my top two performances of the year so far. Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear in multiple roles. But I don't know. Anytime a movie, horror specifically, tries to tackle a theme and make you think about it, but does so in a way that's a good-looking movie, well-acted movie, I'm all on board. So, and like I said in the Hatching episode, if you want to get weird, whatever. I don't mind. So I think the biggest standout was the acting performances, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like how for the bulk of the movie, it's played like home invasion. And then they just completely, in the last like 20 minutes, turn a corner and get... Like the movie's played pretty straight throughout, and then it just gets bonkers. And I can appreciate that. It's not like Hatching where it's like weird all the way through. They play it pretty straight for the most part, and then it gets really weird at the end. But I don't think that's to the movie's detriment. But the acting, like I said in my opening statement, like if you hadn't told me beforehand this was all the same guy, I never would have known. They did a really good job of making all these characters look different. It's not like The Nutty Professor where it's all very clearly Eddie Murphy. could not tell that it was the same guy. So props to whoever did the makeup and all that.
Yeah. What's her name? Jessie Buckley. I've never seen her in anything, so this is my kind of first.
Oh, she's good in everything.
Yeah, she was really good in this. I was surprised how good she was. I've never heard of her, so might have to check out some more of her stuff. And outside of the James Bond movies, I've never seen Rory Kinnear in anything. So
is he? What does he do in those? I've never seen him in anything.
Other he than plays this. Bill Tanner. It's yeah. not really.
I don't know.
Who it's essentially is. The number two to M.
Yeah. So seeing him in this, it shows what skills he has, and to be able to play like 10 different characters throughout the movie, it was pretty impressive. Dudley, what are your thoughts?
I did think the acting was really good. I went again blind, which I love to do, but you could see like the premise of it is basically Rory is multiple different characters, right? And you could see the same facial structure. And so once I kind of knew that, you know, the entire town essentially was the same guy, I was still wondering if Jeffrey was him or not, because Jeffrey was really well. I could not tell if that was Rory or not. But I guess I really liked the way that was all done, where he is multiple different people and they have different, I'd say, personalities, and I just thought that was done really well. So I'd say generally that was probably my favorite part.
Yeah, and again, this movie isn't going for subtlety. He is very obviously, all of these different characters are representations of different, I don't know, bad character traits of men. I don't know how else to put it, but I mean, and it is not like he does create legitimate real characters out of it, but they are very obvious representations of different types of character flaws. But
I don't know if I would go so far as to say he creates real characters. The like outside of Jeffrey
and the vicar,
the vicar's not really in the, well, I guess, yeah,
oh, he is, yeah,
he has a whole scene, so yeah, I suppose those two characters, but like everybody
maybe
else,
not real characters, but different characterizations where it's not. I liked the way it was portrayed, to where it's one guy playing the same, but like you said, it's hard to tell. Obviously it's the same face, but the different mannerisms, the different way he moves and talks and walks, and I thought he did an incredible job portraying these different guys as,
oh yeah,
instead of just one dude playing the same guy just in different clothes.
Hercules.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't remember. Anyways, but where do we go ahead, Steve?
I was going to talk about one of the things I also enjoyed about this movie was the horror aspect of it. It kind of more felt like a psychological, where it's playing with their head. I tend to like these type of horror movies better instead of like the slasher films.
Yeah,
more trying to think more than just, he's going to kill everybody.
I was 100% more invested in her part. The whole thing about men, fine, I get that metaphor. Everybody does, because you weren't hiding it. But the part of with her dealing with her relationship and getting over that, and that even though those are not so subtle representations of traits of men, it's also representations of traits of her husband. And it's like, you know, she is going to the countryside to escape this guilt that she has no business feeling. It's not her fault. But all of these different things keep happening. It's a representation of her not being able to escape that side of the story. And I was more invested in that part than the whatever you're trying to say about men's roles and all of that. Again, if it was done more subtly, maybe I would have been. But it was heavy-handed.
Speaking of all the different men, I do have a question. Like, once we get a little bit more into spoilers or whatever, I do have a question that I want answered. I just want to throw.
Well, let's just go into spoilers. Let's talk about this. We've got
okay
time to do it.
So, just speaking of the movie, like, so obviously something happened in that house, because when the friend shows up at the end, you see the car crash, you see blood. So, did she actually like kill one guy, or was it a whole bunch of different dudes? Like, when that friend walks in, what is she seeing?
I am okay. Well, listen, and I, this is a weird statement. I don't care if any of it actually happened or it's all in her head. I took that whole thing as a metaphor of her getting rid of that guilt and the clinging husband, and instead of you know, physically killing anybody, it was her killing off that idea that she had anything, any blame to bear in the death of her husband.
I don't know. To me, that it does kind of make a difference, because, like, did she literally kill a real life person? And, like, is there a dead body in this house, or is this all in her mind? But then when the friend shows up, the friend is seeing some dramatization or whatever that has happened. So to me, it is like, is this whole movie in her head, or is some of this played out in real life? And, like, did she kill an innocent man because she thought of all, she saw all these characteristics of her husband or whatever? And did she,
or if, like, she did kill somebody, was he not so innocent? I mean, that's
exactly, that's, exactly.
I mean, but I guess to me, the whole movie is about her mindset, and yes, it goes into some murky territory if the movie is trying to say that it's all in her head, you know, because then is that also shifting blame on her for seeing things that aren't there, seeing these traits in men that aren't there? I mean, I don't know, it plays in some murky territory there, but again, I was more on board with her journey through this to then did it actually happen.
Yeah, I kind of echo that as well. Because and especially, like, towards the end of the movie, when there's just so much, like, weird stuff that, and you know, since we're in spoiler territory already, and we kind of mentioned it already, the movie kind of ends with, like, a 10-minute birthing sequence where one dude gives birth to another one of the characters, who gives birth to another one of the characters, who gives birth to another one of the characters, and it ends with the final man being born is her ex-husband, and the movie ends with them sitting on a couch, and she's like, "What do you want from me?" And he just says, "Your love." And I'm like, that pretty much sums up the entire movie. And like Aaron said, it is very, very heavy-handed. And I wish they would have toned it down a little bit. Not because I don't agree with the themes or the messaging or anything. Like, you don't have to beat us over the head with it. Like, let your audience figure it out for themselves. You don't have to hold their hand the whole time. That's the only part that really bugged me.
So let me ask this then. So the themes seem to be themes of toxic masculinity, themes of redemption, themes of guilt and overcoming guilt and forgiving yourself. What then is the message? What is Alex Garland trying to say by presenting these themes to you? What did you take away from it?
Well, the overt message just seems to be men bad. Which,
yeah, well, and no, not necessarily. It's just, I don't know that there is a real, obviously the message is, yeah, don't be an asshole. There are plenty of ways you can handle these situations without, but as far as a message, does there have to be one, or can it just be literally her? I think the theme of the grief and the guilt and the trying to get rid of the blame. And like I said, we see what happened. She has no part in bearing any blame, but she has to deal with it. And every man in that town is shifting blame onto her that's not hers to have. I mean, the priest, the vicar, whatever you want to call him, blames her for his lust for her. I mean, and it's like, I don't know, every character puts her in a situation that's terrible, and then it turns it onto her like it's her fault. And
yeah, but and I'm sure that you agree with this, because we've talked about it on multiple occasions. Horror, for the most part, works best when the director is, or the writer, or, you know, a combination, is trying to say something, and it's not just a movie for the sake of being a movie. And that's kind of where my hangup is on this, because, like, yes, there's the themes, but what are they trying to say with those themes and the usage of all the imagery and all that stuff. So it's like the main takeaway just seems to be men bad, which, you know, yes, toxic masculinity is a bad thing, but like, say something more than that, because that's kind of like a no duh statement.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. But I don't mind watching a movie about that in this way.
Yeah, fair enough.
One of the things I did want to hit on, not on the themes, but a lot of movies, they have horror scenes, whatever. There's actually one scene in this movie that kind of, I don't know, necessarily made me queasy, but I was like, is when the guy tries to get in through the house, through the mail slot.
Yes.
She stabs him in the wrist.
Yep.
And then he pulls his hand out. Like, that whole time he's pulling his hand out, I was like, well, I was kind of getting a little cringy watching it.
Also,
I was
biting my finger. That's why I think this works better as a story about her and her grief, because yes, those men can be embodiments of toxic masculinity or traits of toxic men, but they're also embodiments of her husband. And yes, throughout all of the damage that she does to, when she cuts that guy's arm and then when he breaks his, those are all mirrored injuries of what her husband mm-hmm. suffered.
Yep.
When he either slipped or killed himself or whatever we're led to believe. But that's why I think, yes, men bad is way too heavy handed, but as an exploration of her grief and the way it's impacting her, that's more interesting to use these horrific men, these traits of a husband she was trying to get away from and a memory of that she's trying to get rid of. That's a much more interesting exploration.
See, I agree with you, but they don't focus on that as much.
See, and I agree as well, Aaron, but I think that's why it's important to know if she really killed somebody or not.
I don't think she did. It's her ridding herself of all of that grief and guilt that she has no part in bearing.
Then what's all the blood like around her shirt and on the ground? Like, as their friend shows up, you see like the blood being
this whole movie's a metaphor. Why can't that be?
Because, I mean, her friend's really seeing it.
I mean, honestly, you could say,
or is her friend seeing the struggle that she went through and that now she's happy and she's rid herself of it? Why does it have to be physical and real?
Dudley, you could say that she was the one to crash the vehicle.
For sure.
And the blood is hers. I mean, there's many ways you go to get the blood, but I agree I don't agree that you necessarily have to know if she killed someone to understand the point of the movie.
No, not the point of the movie, but then it just goes back to, was this all in her head, like fighting through all this in her head, which again is totally fine and in a good movie in itself. But then when you see the friend come and see all this carnage that has happened, it would be nice to know, like, what the hell happened and is there a dead body?
I took it as a metaphor and I don't understand why it can't simply be that.
Yeah, the whole movie's a metaphor.
And she's not hurt.
Okay. It's literally a metaphor for her finally cutting that man from her life and getting rid of these demons that literally follow her. She can't escape it. She came here to escape it. And her friend played a big role in that. Maybe her friend is there and finally sees she's ready to be rid of it. I mean, her friend was a huge role in her emotionally getting past that.
It sounds like to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dudley, but what I'm hearing from you is it works as a metaphor and that's fine. But if the friend physically sees the blood, it's no longer a metaphor.
Thank you. Yes. Yep.
So did the friend see the blood is the question?
Yes. Yeah. Cause the friend shows up in a taxi at the end, gets out, sees the damaged car, sees this blood smeared across the front door heading into the house, and then looks at her friend and sees all this blood up around her neck where she was grabbed. And so to me, it's like, okay, yeah, I totally get the metaphor, but something real also happened. And what was this real thing? Like, did she really kill Jeffrey because she was trying to get rid of all of this, you know, guilt inside of her, and she accidentally killed maybe an innocent man? Or is Jeffrey another bad man and she ended up killing a real man? That's, to me, is where my brain goes.
Pick that one. Seems fair.
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter either way, Dudley.
I see now, and I haven't seen the movie. I'm just coming from a story watching standpoint, is if you're presenting something as physically having happened.
All of it's presented as physically having happened, but it does. A man did not literally give birth to different versions of himself as different character traits 8 times.
Then it didn't.
It's all a metaphor.
But how do you know?
Because the first one gets like pooped out of his vagina butt. And then the second one comes out of his vagina belly button. And then the next one comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
You guys are just making me think I made a damn good decision.
No, Chain, this you missed crap. Out, dude. Man birth is one of the best things I've ever seen.
You guys know me. Would I describe this as some artsy fartsy bull crap? Because this sounds like some pretentious crap that I'm.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
Absolutely.
Well, yes, you would.
Probably. I don't know.
Did you think
that hatching was artsy fartsy bull crap? Because it's very similar.
No, in a lot of ways. No, I didn't. I just thought it was pointless.
Okay, listen, but hatching, the reason this is different than hatching is because there are legitimate horror elements that the tension in this movie, the body horror, there's a 20 minute scene in the middle of just like Matt said, almost like a home invasion type of horror movie that is legitimately creepy. You're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and yes, it's all used as a metaphor, but that's fine. I've already said that's one of the flaws of this movie, is it sacrifices any linear story in the name of artsy fartsy bullcrap, like so Shane says.
Is this then in our Annihilation episode? Matt basically talked about how that was just a bunch of nonsense and it never amounted to anything and it was just weird for the sake of being weird. And is this on that same level then?
Yes, but that's wrong about Annihilation too. That Annihilation was, and Alex Garland does that, explores themes and sacrifices a narrative for it. But
yeah, the thing about the difference between this and Annihilation is this was actually like a decent movie.
So
it
what
Natalie Portman in it.
There it is, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, when you put the Jesse Buckley's performance against what Natalie Portman has ever done. Yeah.
All right, so after, I'm assuming most of you have seen Alex Garland's 3 movies, where would you put this against the other two? Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Ex Machina is brilliant.
I've never seen Ex Machina, but this is leagues better than Annihilation.
Yeah, you know, I agree too. So second behind Ex Machina.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I'd have it second behind Ex Machina as well.
Let me ask this, because one of the things that I loved about Annihilation was the soundtrack.
Oh,
does this?
We didn't
even
talk about that. Soundtrack and sound design is incredible in this movie. There's one element that it's not a spoiler, you've seen it in the trailer, when she's walking through the woods and she came to this place to escape this memory of her husband and get rid of this guilt and these feelings she's having, and she finally has this moment of peace. And then you get this scene where she's in this tunnel where she kind of, you know, she's happy and she's singing this melody that echoes off the walls and comes back to her. And they keep playing that echoed melody throughout, even in situations where it doesn't seem like it should fit. But I mean, I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. I actually can remember the music in this, which is more than I could say about Hatching.
And it is the same guys, I think it's 2 guys that do the music for Garland stuff. The same guys that did Annihilation and Ex Machina. Can't remember their names if it's 2.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you guys that the music kind of adds to the creepiness, the weird factor for the movie. The echoing was what definitely got me.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready to rate this? Or is there something else you want to talk about?
Anything else you guys want to hit on before we want to give closing arguments, if you will?
I don't think there's too much more to say.
10 out of 10. Tell your friends.
Aaron,
that's what Dudley says.
Do you want to start it off then? Or
I'll start it off.
Yours as a rebuttal.
No, and that's fine. I knew, I said in the text, I knew you guys would hate this or just not like it. That's fine. And it's not one of my, it is going to be in my top 5 of the year, at least so far. But I'm fine with watching a 2-hour movie that narratively goes nowhere except to explore this one character's journey through this grief, that's fine with me. And the way it's shown, I mean, it's incredibly shot. The music's good. The acting is top notch, best of the year for me. Still, I'm not going to say it's amazing because you should still have a story that makes sense linearly. So I'm at a 7.75 on this.
To kind of follow that up, I wouldn't put this in my top five. I don't even think it's in my top 10. But that's not to say that I didn't like the movie. I did. And I kind of agree with everything that Aaron said for the most part. I mean, great performances, great music. It's beautifully shot. I also don't mind a very slow burn movie that explores, you know, a singular character and their journey through whatever trauma or grief they're processing and any of that. But I also want the movie to have a satisfying conclusion, and this one didn't. And it's a little too heavy-handed on the themes for my liking. Don't beat me over the head with it. Let me figure it out myself. So I'm going to give this the exact same score that I gave Hatching. I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, on top of everybody else. I'm not sure where this is going to stand in my top 10. I'm not sure if it'll be in there. I think that'll be down the road, kind of go through my movies. While I did enjoy the acting and the creepiness of this movie, I think it needed a little more satisfactory ending. I'm going to give it a 7. Funny thing about you talking about beating people over the head with it is there some people that want to be beaten over the head with everything in a movie, and that's how they want to watch movies.
Those people are Marvel fans, yeah.
But I think it says something that to be able to actually have to think about what you're watching instead of just, like Aaron said, explosions in our text yesterday. It's
what, where?
While explosions are nice to see and everything, they're pretty. It's nice to have a change.
Yeah, this is definitely on the opposite end of the spectrum of the turn your brain off, watch things explode Netflix action movies. That
very much so.
It sounds like before Dudley gives his, it sounds like an interesting, I guess, contrast between these themes that are very obvious and evident and being, like you said, hand-fed and being over the head with it, with this narrative that is completely ambiguous without any answers at all. Is that a correct assessment? That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and I said from the beginning, they leaned heavy into these metaphors at the expense of a story that makes sense with answers.
Yeah, I feel like I'd hate that. 0. I get a 0.
I know exactly what you would call it. It's artsy fartsy bullshit.
Dudley, what do you give it?
Yeah, I'm on along the lines of a lot of what everybody else just said. I did enjoy the movie as a whole. Like, it did keep me involved and entertained, which is pretty much all you can really ask of a movie sometimes. And I do like movies that make me have to wonder and think. So I don't mind that aspect either. But a little clearer ending, I think, would have been nice. But overall, movie was done pretty well. So I'll actually go 7 as well.
You know, and I don't disagree that a better ending, perhaps to wrap up all of the metaphor and bring this back into
in real life,
some grounded reality.
And dead body, yeah.
No. If the friend had just shown up and the main character is sitting there happy as she is, but there is no evidence of a real physical bloody struggle because it was just an internal struggle to process this grief and this trauma, that would have been a much better summary of what we just witnessed.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
Yep. Agreed.
So the ending, it sounds like, was basically the friend pulls up and she says, "What's with all this blood?" And she was like, "What blood?" And then it said, "Dun, dun, dun," and credits roll. Is that
picture
the ending of Ready or Not, but worse.
Because that all physically legitimately happened.
Yeah.
All right. So that gives a average score between the four of you as a 7.19, which is a B-, which seems a little high from everything I've heard, but that's fine. It's your movie. You'd be, it's all right. Aaron, do you have a this or that? I'm going to participate in this or that.
I can. Okay. Let's see. 7.19 puts us with. Okay. So this or, oddly enough, written by Alex Garland, Sunshine. And I watched this.
Well, I think this is a better movie. I think I'd watch Sunshine.
I think I would also, man, Sunshine. I was on board for three quarters of that movie.
Yikes. Yeah. You want to talk about horrendous endings. God.
The whole movie bugged me. Like, you know, I don't get me started. Scientists that are completely idiotic.
I'd probably watch this again.
This or No Country for Old Men. I go that for sure.
That. Yeah, that. And I didn't particularly like that movie, but it's a better made movie.
This like or movie. Matt's favorite movie, Galaxy Quest. Because it's a 10 out of 10.
That because it's about an hour shorter.
This, oh boy, this or Captain America Civil War. Ugh. I go with this.
I probably watched Civil War. That's the, like the Civil War is like the, or no, wait, no, sorry. No, I'm thinking of Winter Soldier. Never mind. Yeah, this.
This because Civil War was just, eh.
All right, lastly, oh, weird. This or Annihilation?
Oh, this.
This.
Yeah, I'd probably say this.
I have a Natalie Portman, though.
This or Dudley's pick, We Own the Night, which is almost exactly the same score, and I go this.
Oh, We Own the Night, dude. Let's go.
We Own the Night.
I abstain. I haven't seen that movie.
Can we petition... So we get a million signatures.
That you don't get to pick movies anymore?
To have Hollywood make a movie in which Mark Wahlberg attempts to play eight characters.
Oh, no. My
God, that'd be brilliant.
Talk about the best movie ever.
Talk about shenanigans ensuing.
Uh-huh.
Man, holy moly, you're a good-looking fella.
Rob Zombie directs Mark Wahlberg in multiple roles. Oh,
I'd be on board for that. I would be on board for that train wreck.
Box office hit is all I'm saying.
All right, this or that. Mark Wahlberg movies or any movie Aaron makes us watch?
Mark the movies Wahlberg I pick.
Mark Wahlberg, 100%.
The Bullet.
Yeah. I think speaking I'm with Neil on this.
Yeah, speaking of
bullets. No, you have to pick one.
Thank you to all of you for watching this so I didn't have to bite that one. And I'm glad I avoided this. It sounds horrendous. So 0 out of 10, tell your friends. But who
it's honestly not.
I guess I'll have to look at the list to see who's next. But we'll have another excellent episode for you next week.
It's Dudley.
Okay. Mark Wahlberg, here we come.
Yeah.
Uncharted.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sick next weekend.
I'm a little nicer than that, than Aaron is.
Father Stu, another horrendous Let's Marky go! Mark 2022 yeah. movie.
Well, in the meantime, if you, the listener, would like to hear a specific movie reviewed, go ahead to our website. It's right there on the homepage at moviereviewcrew.com. You can request a movie. You can send a message. Let us know where we were right, where we were wrong. Give us your thoughts on a movie we have reviewed or will be reviewing. You can also find us on Instagram at the Movie Review Crew, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd at the Movie Review Crew. We're on all the social media. Hit us up wherever you have access to and let us know your thoughts. I guess if there's nothing else anybody wants to talk about, somebody in the show.
Tell your friends.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. You're a... Sir, I said good day!
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.